Well, as I was contacted this past week to come to Market Hill this evening, and when I was considering the recent legislation which came from our executive in Stormont, the verse that came to my attention was verse number 16 of Genesis chapter 7, and particularly it is the last few words of that verse, and it says, "And the Lord shut him in." And the Lord shut him in. Now we know that this is in reference, of course, to Noah, and Noah and his family entering into the ark. You know, it seems this past week that the worship of God is deemed by our government as not essential. Yet sadly, it seems to be that the opening of off licenses is more important to our executive than the worship of God. And that the church doors have been closed, told to close for public worship for the next 2 weeks. And we trust and pray that that will not be extended. But brethren and sisters, as I thought about this past week, that verse of scripture in Romans 13 and verse 1 also came to my heart. It said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." And yes, we may not like what our executive has passed this past week, but we must be reminded that we are to be subject unto the higher powers, because remember, they are ordained by God. God can set up men and women who he wants in government, and he can bring them down again. And I want to encourage you tonight, brethren and sisters, because I'm sure, because we're not able to meet like we would like to tonight and for the next week or so, that we can be discouraged and we can get down and depressed about it. But we ought not to. Instead of lambasting, we ought to be taking the matter before the Lord in prayer. You know, it's very easy for any one of us to lambast. It's very easy for us to criticize, but yet ought we not to be praying to the Lord about these things? Because the Lord has ordained these powers over us for a reason. But I want you to notice with me this evening, as our executive has told us to close the church doors, I want us to notice this evening a higher power, and how this higher power closed a very important door, which we will see as we go through the message tonight. And we will see that it was none other than Almighty God, who is the highest power in this universe, the one who sits as sovereign and supreme upon his throne in heaven. God Almighty, the one that brought this universe into existence, the one who none can stay his hand, none can say to him, "What doest thou?" None can challenge him and say that I know more than you, God, know. Oh yes, puny man, sinful man thinks he knows better than God. Sinful man thinks he can take on God and win. Oh my friend, you cannot, because you're nothing but a little human being. You're nothing but a little mortal. And what are you against Almighty God? The one, as the Bible tells us, he inhabits eternity. And that's the God I want to point you to tonight. And particularly, if you're not a Christian, I want to point you tonight to the one who came into this world to save sinners like you and to save a sinner like me. And that is his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice firstly with me this evening the purpose of the door, because we will be considering tonight the door that God shut. The door that God shut. And as I said, I want you to consider with me, first of all, the purpose of the door. In the previous chapter, in Genesis chapter 6, we read that God was grieved with the wickedness and the sinfulness of the people. They were living as if God didn't exist. They were living for self and for sin. And surely we see that today, do we not? How often has the call been gone out to our government to call for prayer? But yet, they haven't called for prayer yet. You know, they're depending upon a vaccine. They think the vaccine's going to be their savior and sort out all their problems. My friend, your greatest need tonight, if you're not a Christian, is not about getting a vaccine to preserve you, to protect you from a virus. But your greatest need tonight is for your sin to be dealt with. That is a far greater and worse pandemic than this pandemic of COVID-19. But praise God, while men are trying to work on a vaccine for COVID, praise God, there is a cure tonight for your sin. And that is none other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And why we think tonight, my friend, of the purpose of this door, God had to send judgment upon his creation. Man had raised himself up. Man thought he could be on par with God. Man thought that he could live his life without God. And oh yes, my friend, you can exist through this life and not look to God, but yet God in his goodness and his mercy to you has enabled you to have a job, to have health and strength, to have money, to have clothes, to have a home, to even to have a family. And God in his grace and his mercy has allowed you to have these things. But yet perhaps you still reject them tonight. You still will say, I will not have this man to rule over me. And because there was such wickedness and evil in the world at this time, God had to step in. God had to judge. Because God is righteous, God is just, he cannot let sin go unpunished. And that's what he was going to do. So what did he do? He spoke to his servant. Now the Bible tells us that Noah was a just man in the sight of God. Noah had found grace in the sight of God. Noah didn't find grace in God's eyes because he was a perfect man, or because he was a man who sought to follow God. But Noah was a man who found grace in God's sight because Noah believed God. Noah had faith in God. And my friend, that's the only way anybody can be saved, whether that was in the Old Testament or in the New Testament or even today. It is by faith alone in God and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did, excuse me, at Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago. So God spoke to Noah and he told him to build an ark. And we see that Noah did obey God's word. God spoke directly to Noah. There we have verbal inspiration. God spoke to Noah, and Noah obeyed God's word. I wonder tonight, are you obeying God's word? Perhaps you're a Christian tonight, and the Lord's been speaking to you about doing something for him, or dealing with a sin in your life. I wonder, friend, have you listened? Have you heeded God and his word? Have you obeyed him? But we see here the purpose of the door. In the ark, the door was to be in the side of the ark. And what's interesting to note is that this ark that Noah was told to construct, it only had one window. But most importantly of all, it had only one door. And that is very significant for what we want to say in the gospel tonight. Because we know how the ark itself, the ark is a type, it points us to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see here that there is only one door, there we have another application. That there is only one way into safety. There's only one way to have our sins dealt with. There's only one way we can come to God, my friend, tonight. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see this door here was for bringing in the cargo, because in the verses that we have read, we notice that Noah had to, not only when he had finished building the ark, but he had to bring in all the supplies that they would need. All the food for himself, all the bedding materials for the animals as well. So they could be sustained on their sailing in the ark. So it was used for bringing in the cargo and to load the animals. But it also was a witness. This was a witness to those men and women and young people that were around about at that time, because it stood as a witness to them of impending judgment. Now, in the world at this time, the world had never seen heavy rain. The world had never seen the likes of what was coming. And my friend, that is true, because the judgment of God is coming someday very soon upon this world. And God's not going to destroy the world with a flood, but he's going to destroy and judge the world by fire. And a fire which the world has never seen before. I'm sure when you look on your news, at the television or the internet, and you see these great fires that are sweeping through parts of America or parts of Australia, and the devastation that they leave behind. Well, my friend, that's nothing compared to what's going to come. But you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 in the verse 5 that Noah was not only a builder of a boat or an ark, but that he was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah warned the people for many years as he and his family constructed the ark, and how this ark would picture the only safety, the only refuge from the impending judgment of God. So it was a witness. And Noah preached to the people. He told them to repent of their sin. He told them to repent and to trust in God, to turn away from their sin. You see, Noah preached the same message that we preach tonight. He preached repentance. And my friend, I'm telling you, you need to repent of your sin. And as a believer, I need to repent of my sin every day. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. But I have an advocate with God, and that is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Noah had a perfect righteousness, and that was bestowed upon him by the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God. And Noah, he didn't have all the details revealed to him by God, but God simply told him, Noah, to build the ark. And Noah obeyed. He didn't question, he didn't hinder, he didn't hold back, he didn't wait. He went to it, and he got to it and built the ark as God had commanded him to do. My friend, or dear Christian tonight, if God's telling you, speaking to you to do something for him, don't delay. Don't delay. Because you'll only bring his displeasure upon you. No matter what, how difficult you may think it may be, if God's calling you to do something, he will give you the grace and he will equip you for whatever it is you need to do. But as we have not only noticed first of all this evening the purpose of the door, I want you to notice secondly with me the power needed for the door. Now we see here in Genesis 7, the verse 16, it says there, and the Lord shut him in. So Noah had completed the ark at this stage along with his family. And as they got everything together into the ark, which they would need, and then the animals came in, into the ark, as God had commanded, and as he had drew the animals from near and far to be preserved in that ark, along with Noah and his family. We see here that it wasn't Noah that shut the door, but it was God, because it says, and the Lord shut him in. So the Lord had commanded Noah to go and to build the ark. And Noah had done his duty. Noah had done what he was commanded of the Lord to do. He had made all the preparations. And as he preached, while the ark was being constructed, the day came when his preaching was finished. There was a day that came when he stopped preaching, because the people had been warned time after time after time. Do we not see that tonight, friends? How that the gospel is proclaimed week by week by week in different faithful Bible preaching, Christ exalting church services. And yet, how many in Northern Ireland tonight have been fed by some of the greatest preaching on the gospel? Preachers far better than me. Perhaps you've sat under them tonight and previous nights, my friend, in this meeting house or in some other meeting house, and yet tonight you're not saved. I want you to look at this verse and think about what it's saying here. And the Lord shut him in. So that meant that Noah and his family and the animals, they were shut in. The Lord, in his sovereign power and will, closed the door. And you know, at times in our lives, the Lord will open but the Lord will close doors. And my friend, there's only one door I want you to point you to tonight. And that is the door that is Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, the verse 9, I am the door. If any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. Friend, there's only one way into heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Savior was teaching in John 10 about the door into the sheepfold, the Israeli farmers, when they were stopping for the night, they would have put their sheep into an enclosure. Usually it was a stone wall enclosure, and there was only one gate or one door into that sheepfold. And the shepherd stayed at the door all night to guard his sheep. And that speaks to us of God's salvation, God's mercy, of God's protection tonight. We see here that God in his sovereignty closed the door. Judgment was about to come. Friend, how many times have you heard the gospel and you keep rejecting the Savior? How many times is God going to have to speak to you before you come to him? What if this is the last time he will speak to you? Perhaps he's speaking to you now. What if this is the very last time? Remember, God said in Genesis 6 and 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. How many people has God's Holy Spirit spoken to and convicted them of their sin? And yet they still go on rejecting the Savior. Friend, this could be your last opportunity. I came from a home this evening before the meeting tonight where death had entered into that family circle. And their dear loved one has departed into glory. And their earthly remains will be laid into the earth tomorrow afternoon. Friend, if that was you, where would you be? At the end of the day, friend, all that matters, it doesn't matter what your background is, what your associations are, what sin you've committed, what have you done with Christ? That's all that matters. That's the only important issue that you need to be sure on tonight. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is your sins cleansed away in his precious blood? Oh, if they aren't, come to him tonight, because the door of mercy is still open. As the gospel goes forth tonight, as God the Spirit would take of the word of God and speak to your heart, I pray that you would come, if you haven't come already, and trust in Christ. You see, this ark, God had told Noah to prepare it. It was prepared for a prepared people. Noah was prepared. Are you prepared tonight? Are you prepared to meet God? Praise the Lord. Noah obeyed God, and Noah and his family entered into that ark, and they were safe. The floods came, just as God had said. You know, many people today scoff at the coming of the Lord and the coming judgment. But yet men and women have scoffed at it for years. And they're all in eternity tonight. Those who mock God, those who scoff God. Yet where is their soul? Did they get saved? Or did they die in their sin and go out into a Christless hell for all eternity? You know, the Savior said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So friend, I want you to notice thoroughly with me this evening the people preserved, or the preserved people behind the door. Notice verse 23 there of Genesis chapter 7. It says, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. That last part of the verse, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Only Noah and his family and the animals that were in the ark were saved. And friend, that just shows us tonight how that Christ, If we are in Christ tonight, oh yes, as the ark was facing the storm, as the ark went through the storm, Christian, so we will go through storms. But if we're in Christ, praise the Lord, we're safe. We're safe and we're secure in Him for time and for eternity. Hallelujah. That's all we need tonight, to be in Christ. Doesn't matter how wealthy we are or how poor we are. If we have Christ, we have all we need. And that's all that counts for time and for eternity, is to know Him. And the wonderful message here is that God preserves His people. We see that Noah and his family were preserved. Their lives were kept safe. The Lord had spared their lives. The Lord had shut them in. And this literally means to be covered Him around about. Covered Him round about. And that intimated that Noah had become, listen to this now, Noah had become the special object of divine care and protection. Isn't that wonderful? I read that from one of the Bible commentaries. That Noah and his family were the special object of divine care and protection. Why? Because their faith was in God. Dear Christian, tonight, your faith is in Christ and in Christ alone. You're the special object of divine care and protection. I know at times when we are going through difficult times and we can forget that God is sovereign. We can forget that God has this for has us going through that for a reason. You know what, I was listening to your service this morning, and there was a lovely quote by Warren Wiersbe. And to paraphrase it said that the trials are there to make us, help us grow. And it's in those trials, brethren and sisters, that the Lord can use for us to grow as a Christian. Oh yes, it may be painful, it may be difficult. And as we seek to grow closer to God, as we seek to love the Lord more and live more for Him, oh yes, the Lord will truly reveal to us how unworthy we are. He will reveal to us how guilty and how sinful our hearts really are. And that is painful to take. That is painful to see. But brethren and sisters, it's for His glory and for our good. Because it humbles us that bit more. We realize how holy and how worthy the Lord is and how unworthy we really are. But take heart tonight, because as God preserved His people in the ark and they came through the judgment, so dear Christian, tonight the Lord will preserve us through whatever trial, whatever evil even we have to face in our land in these days, whatever difficulties we may encounter along the Christian journey. We can praise the Lord tonight that His people will be preserved. This is the preserved people behind the door, because they were in, they were safe and they were secure. You know, when the disciples were out in the boat and they were in the storm and Christ was sleeping in the boat, they came to Him and said, "Master, carest not thou that we perish?" And what did the Savior do? The Savior simply stood up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and everything was calm. And you know, the children's chorus says, with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing in. Are you obeying God's word tonight? Are you a Christian? Are you saved tonight, friend? Because I want you to notice lastly with me, before we close this evening, we've noticed the purpose of the door. We've noticed the power that was needed to close the door. We've noticed the people who were preserved behind the door. But we must also consider tonight the people who perished outside the door. And while Noah and his family were shut in from the flood water, think of it now. Remember now, the world had never seen rain like it before. The world didn't know what it was like to experience a flood, a global, worldwide flood. Oh yes, there's many who would deny that, and they're skeptics of that tonight. But I believe the Bible. A global flood, that's what it was. That's what the Bible says. Because it says in verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Even if people could have swam back then, they wouldn't have survived. It says, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground. My friend, that's very sobering to read tonight. And even as I stand here tonight and I read that off to you, and I think of what I am reading, and how as a Christian I ought to have a concern, we ought to have a concern for those who are not saved. When we drive around in our around the town and the countryside, and we see men and women and young people, and we wonder, where are they? Where is their soul? Are they saved? Where do they stand? We see the desecration of the Lord's Day today. People don't care. We see the passing of laws which are totally against God and His Word. It grieves our hearts. But does it cause us to pray? Does it cause us to weep? Friend, does your sin cause you to weep? I wonder if you ever cried over your sin. Because it was your sin, and my sin, I might add, that nailed the Saviour to the cross. Oh yes, it was love that held him there, but it was our guilt, our sin. Every wicked, sinful thought, every word, every deed that we've committed was nailed upon the cross with Christ. He bore the wrath of God for our sins upon the tree. Praise his holy name. And my friend, you can be saved tonight if you will come to him and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Because he lived and he died in our guilty room instead. And he rose again the third day. Hallelujah. And he lives forevermore, seated at the Father's right hand, ever to live to make intercession for us, his people. Ah, but he's coming again, you know. What was it the angel said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, where the Savior, his ascension was recorded for us? This same Jesus shall so return in like manner in which you have seen him go. Friend, Jesus is coming again. Praise his name. And dear Christian, he has prepared that place for us, but he's coming again to take us home to be with him in heaven for all eternity. But for those who are not saved, friend, you'll meet him as your judge. You'll never hear those lovely words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But you will hear those awful words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I do not know you." And there'll be people there who will cry, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not do this? Did we not do that?" He says, "I never knew you." Oh, friend, you could be a religious person. You could be good living, as they like to term it over in Northern Ireland. You could be somebody who pays into your church. You may be christened or confirmed or any of these things. But friend, it matters nothing. The only thing that matters is what you've done with Christ. Is Christ your Savior tonight? Has he saved your soul for time and for eternity? Here we see a people outside of the ark. They had heard the gospel. They had heard the preaching of Noah. And yet they mocked, they rejected the great offer that Noah preached to them. And the Spirit of the Savior was with Noah as he preached the word. The Spirit of Christ was present there. The people heard the gospel, but yet they rejected. They were outside of the ark. And yet, when the door was shut, surely that ought to have triggered something within their heart. And then as they seen the clouds forming, and the rain started to fall, and the fountains of the deep broke open, and the water started to rise and to rise and to rise and to rise and to rise, until they could not get any further. They could climb up to the hills and the mountains, but yet the water still kept coming and coming and coming and coming until it took them And so, friend, tonight death will take each and every one of us. We do not know when that's going to happen, but friend, is it not better to be ready? Is it not better to be assured of God's salvation tonight? You can have the peace of God in your heart tonight. You can have the assurance of God's salvation tonight. You can have the joy of the Lord in your heart tonight if you're not saved. And oh, dear Christian, I pray that the Lord would encourage you in these days, that the Lord would strengthen you and build you up in your most holy faith in these days, because someday we're going higher. Praise his name. Friend, don't presume on living forever. Don't presume on living to your old. The door into the ark was closed. Opportunity was gone. As I close this message tonight, a very sobering message. Yes, we have good news that Christ is the ark. Christ is the only door into heaven. And that there will be a preservation of God's people, those who trust in him, not in the church, not in themselves or religion, but trust in Christ and Christ alone. You know, the executive this week have told us to close the church doors. And in the will of God, they will open again in a couple of weeks' time. But what if, friend, tonight was your last opportunity? And I'm not here to be morbid, but I want to be real. And this is reality. We hear every day of people dying and going out into eternity. And where's their soul? Are they saved? Do they know the Lord? Do they love him? Oh, it doesn't matter what their church association is. All that matters is what they've done with the Lord. Oh, that you could say tonight, friend, what a friend I have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege I have to carry everything to God in prayer. As we think of the people who perished outside the door, friend, there's a world that's perishing out there. Are we living lives that speak of Christ? Are we living lives that bring glory and honor to his name? When people meet us, do they know that that is a genuine, born-again Christian? Oh yes, they might associate us with a particular church, and how we love to do that in Northern Ireland. But at the end of the day, all that matters, are you born again? Are you saved? And oh, what a joy it is when you meet another brother or sister, even from another church, but they love the Lord and they're saved, and they want to see souls won. Oh, what a tonic it is to your soul. And friend, tonight, if you're not saved, I can't save you, but I would be delighted to point you to Christ. All you have to do is come to him, to turn from your sin and to trust in him, and you can be saved.